Yeah, I'm going to preach a strange sermon tonight. I want you to turn with me in the book of Exodus chapter 31. So since ain't nobody shouting, I'm going to preach on verse 17. And when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said unto them, "There is a noise of war in the camp." So I want to talk to you tonight about what are you shouting about? And of course, I mean, ain't nobody doing it, but I just, if you were shouting, you'd have probably thought I was going to knock it out of you. So I mean, since you didn't shout, since you're not shouting like we have been ordinarily, you might get on it after a while. But I want to ask you a question. Why do you shout? Are you shouting because of the calf or the lamb? Now over here in Exodus, they're shouting because of a golden calf. And over in Revelation, they're shouting because of the Lamb of God.
Amen.
I mean, if you're shouting because of the calf, you ought to shut up. But if you're shouting because of the Lamb, you ought to keep on doing it.
Amen.
Now Moses is up on the mountain, and he's up there to get the law, and the Lord told him what was going on down there. And if you'll ever notice how the Lord, I mean, he knew what was going on, see, and he told Moses, said, "Now they done messed up down there. That crowd you left down there that you come up here to get the law, and they already messed up, and they're bringing reproach. Said they've corrupted themselves, and they've turned aside quickly." And he said, and he done told him, said, and they made a golden calf, a molten calf, and they worship it. And they sacrifice thereunto, and there be gods of Israel. These be the gods of Israel. See, there's changing gods. And then he goes on and he told Moses, he said, "Now, they're stiff-necked people." But listen what he said to Moses. He said, "You let me alone." I mean, now this is the Lord talking to Moses. He said, "Just leave me alone now. I'm going to get rid of them." Boy, I mean, isn't that something? I mean, that God had talked to a man and said, "Now, don't bother me, just leave me alone, and don't you tell me what to do." But old Moses went ahead and done it. And did you ever think that God would repent of evil that he thought to do? Moses told him, said, "Now, God, you ought to repent of this evil that you thought to do. I mean, you ought to repent." And he got God to repent. Isn't that good? I mean, you think, well, God never did do nothing wrong. Well, He may not have, but he thought about it. I mean, he thought about it. He really did. He thought about killing his outfit, and he thought about getting Moses another crowd. And Moses said, "Now, God, just repent of that evil you thought about doing." I mean, now, I don't know what the Greek says, and don't pay no attention to what it says. If some of them dudes come in and said, "Well, it don't mean what it said," well, it says that anyhow. I don't know anything else to say to you than what it says. And the Lord said, I mean, he said, "Now I want you to turn from the wrath and repent." I mean, that's what Moses is telling God to do. Well, you say, "Well, God ain't going to pay no attention to that." Well, it did anyhow. The Bible said in verse 13 or 12, he said in the last part of it, "Turn thou from the wrath and repent of this evil against the people." And he said, "Now I want you to remember some folks. God, you made an oath." And then he goes on down to verse 14, "And the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people." Now, isn't it pretty good to have a God that you can talk to, and a God that you can reason with, and a God that'll change his mind about some things? And I know that God's sovereign, and I mean that God can do anything he wants to, and I know God's all God, and I know he's an all wise, and I know everything about all of that, I reckon. But anyhow, I know that God will listen to his children talk to him, and especially to a man like Moses. Now, if God will change his mind about a fellow like Moses, what do you think about his only begotten son that's sitting up there doing the same thing that old Moses was doing? He's sitting up there praying for us, and every time God just decides, if he ever takes a notion to get rid of one of us, I mean, all his son has to do is say, "Now, God, are you going to give me better to Moses than you was to me? Are you going to kill that outfit and let me have my children when I've saved them and God died for him and Moses didn't. I mean, God, what are you going to do about this thing? Well, what do you think he's going to do? He's going to do exactly what his son asked him to do. He's going to do whatever his son wants him to do. He's going to please his son whether we like it or don't like it. If he'll do that for old Moses that never died for anybody, that didn't want to go, and Jesus never rebelled, but Moses did, and yet God will pay attention to a fellow like Moses and say, okay, if that's what you want. Well, then I want you to notice something else about this, and then I'm going to get on to preaching in a minute. But old Moses, you know, I mean, God was angry. And Moses said, why is your angry heart? Why are you so upset? I mean, why don't you just repent of this and forget about it? And then when Moses came off the mountain and seen that crowd down there in that cave, that they'd made me to shouting. And they're not only shouting, they're having all night singing. I mean, they're really having it. But the bad part of it, they was naked. I mean, I want you to look at this now. And they were naked. And they were dancing to this golden calf, and they lied on top of it. Now, you see what old Aaron said? He said, well, we just throwed all the earrings and things in there. Of course, the men was wearing them then in those days, just like about they are now. You take a crowd like this, son, they'll all do anything. I mean, that crowd wearing earrings, the men are wearing them, and the women are wearing them, everybody wearing them. They got all that gold and throwed it in the fire and said, we just throwed it in and had a calf come out. Now, that's a lie, because, I mean, they made that calf just like the Bible says they made it. But you see, they lied about it and all that other kind of stuff, and yet God said, okay, I'll do what you asked me to do. I'll do. And you know, folks think, boy, it's awful to talk to God, you know, like he's your father, or talk to him like he's your friend, or talk to him like, you know, I mean, it ain't either. I mean, some fellas told me, I mean, I told somebody about how I talked to God one day. I told a couple of folks, and in fact, somebody got mad in the camp meeting and said they wasn't coming back because they didn't think I ought to talk to God like that. Well, what do you think about Moses? Won't you get mad at him and not go to his camp meeting then? Bless God, he had one right after this, and he had a camp meeting. But I want to tell you something. I mean, if you've got God as your father, you can talk to him like a father. You can say, now listen, I mean, and old Moses didn't know nothing about him as a father like I know him as a father, and like you know him as a father probably. But I mean, he's a man of God, and God called him, and God got him in this position. And he said, now, Father, or he said, God, you can't do that. Now, why are you so hot about this thing? And then when he seen him naked down there, he got hot too. I mean, I got to look at that now, though, Lord God, you know, that's just like everybody. I mean, they'll come to me and say, well, preacher, why do you get so upset? And the next time you see them, they're in the same boat I'm in. I mean, they're just mad over the same thing I'm mad over. Yeah. They say, oh, but you shouldn't get mad. I know. You shouldn't get angry. And you're angry shouldn't wax hot. And I know that. And Moses told God that. And then turned right around and done exactly what God was doing. He acted just like it. And I mean, he said, now, God, if you're going to blot their name out, just blot my out. I mean, if you're going to get them rid of them, blot out my name. I don't want to be saved. And then he turned right around and said, get your swords out and kill them. You see, I mean, he didn't want God to do it, but you see how we are. But let me hurry on with my sermon. Now, they made this cave, and I mean, you can get more noise out of that. And what I'm saying to you is, you're going to worship God or something else. Everybody's a worshiping something. I mean, this whole world's getting in a mess of worship today. Every time I turn the radio on or the TV on, brother, they're talking about the Muslims, and that is a scary thing, brother. And they're saying, we ought to say they've done this or they've done that. And every time I turn around, they're bowing and a bowing and a bowing and a bowing. That's all they do. And they bow and bow and against Israel. And I want to tell you something, anybody that's against Israel, that God will be against them. I don't care who it is, nor where it is, nor when it is. I don't care what you think about them. You cuss them all you want to, but if you're against Israel, the Bible says that salvation is of the Jew. And if you're against Israel, and if you're watching this stuff that they've got about them Nazis affecting those Israelites and killing those Israelites, you're sorry as the devil himself. Because that's God's people. That's who brought this thing into existence. That's who brought Jesus to us. That's how come us to have him. If it wasn't for them, we wouldn't have no Savior. Boy, I want to tell you right now, I don't appreciate nobody being against them. I don't care if it's a Ku Klux Klan. I don't care who it is. And I hope this goes on the radio. And the Nazis and the rest of them and whoever you are, the Baptists and the whoever it is, and the rest of you jackasses out there that are listening to me. I don't care who you are. I mean, God's going to save them according to the Word of God. Whether you like it or don't like it, or whatever you think about them or don't think about them, I can care less what you think. But why are you shouting? I mean, they had a mechanic over there. They didn't believe in Jesus. They didn't believe in God. They didn't believe it's that Moses. They didn't even believe in Moses. He's the head of the church in the wilderness, and he'd gone for a little while, and the same thing happened about Jesus. I mean, if you'd have been here 2,000 years ago, if we'd have been there, we'd have been walking around. We'd have probably had been having a good time. But Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I mean, if you can't enjoy Jesus, you say, well, I ain't seen him. That's what they wanted. They want something they can see. I mean, it's by faith, honey. It ain't what you see. It's not what you feel. It's by faith. It don't matter to me whether you see it, feel it, or any otherwise. Jesus Christ is still the same. He's the Son of God. And the Savior of the world. Amen. I tell you, said, make us something we can see. Make us something that we can follow. And I mean, boy, they're having a time. They're naked. And there's a eating and a drinking and a dancing and a playing. And Moses up there arguing with God for him. Now, ain't that about like us? Amen. Jesus is up there praying for us tonight. And we're down here playing while he's a praying. We're down here acting ignorant. We're down here cutting up and carrying on and acting like, well, we don't care. I mean, we don't know nothing about where he went anyway. And I ain't never seen Jesus. And that bunch of women up there, you know them fellas over yonder in Russia went up and they said, there ain't no God. We didn't see no angels. We didn't see no feathers. Unless God, they're going to smell the smoke one of these days, whether they seen anything or not. There is a God. And the walls finally fell after they started making fun of God. I mean, they lost their communism. And they've lost everything else. But I want to tell you something else. They're going to hell if somebody don't get them saved. And they're dying without God. You ain't going to mock God. I want you to know that. But them Israelites said, boy, I mean them. And by the way, listen. This outfit will follow the wrong dude. Now you see, old Moses was God's man. Old Aaron was just a spokesman. He's just a spokesman because Moses couldn't talk plain. He didn't take Aaron to show him anything. In fact, he didn't take Joshua to show him a whole lot. And he didn't put any of this outfit. Let me tell you something. You better follow the man of God. And I don't care what little scholar comes by. I mean, if he's just interpreting what the old man said, don't pay no attention to what he interprets unless he's just saying what the old man said. See, I mean, Moses was a stuttering Moses. And I mean, he could sing, but he stuttered. I mean, really, over there in the Bible, he's the first man ever led a song in the Old Testament. I mean, he did when he got out there. And he sang the horse and his rider. He was thrown into the sea. And old Moses led. Like old Mill telling, he didn't tell us whatever his name is. He didn't even stutter while he sang, but he couldn't talk. But you know what he could do? He could move God. And I don't care how good you can preach, how good you can talk, how good you can lead the people. If you can't move God, forget it. I mean, I'd rather have a man moving God than have somebody knows everything and make you please what you want to do. I mean, that outfit, I followed old Aaron. He couldn't move God. He didn't ever talk to God. He never done much of that. But I want to tell you what he could do. He let the people tell him what to do. And God help a man to let the people tell him what to do. That's our problem today. Baptist churches say, well, the majority is supposed to rule. That was Baptists that kept that folks out of the Canaan's land. They had two believers and 10 that didn't. and they kept everybody out of Canaan and melted their heart. I'd like to preach on that one of these days. The Bible said that when that bunch of unbelievers come back, the Bible said the heart of those fellas melted. And we got a bunch of screwballs are melting the heart of the people in this country today because they think God can't do it. I want to tell you one thing, God can do it. And we got two men of irons around today that to let the people just play, have a good time, shindig, and the church is dying. And the people out here stripped down naked, don't have no God on them, don't have no glory on them, don't have no power on them, and don't have no nothing for God. And don't know where Jesus is at. But see, there's a shouting. And old Joshua, he came down off the mountain. He said, they're shouting. Moses finally said, no, they're singing. And there's a lot of difference in shouting and singing. And don't you think I'm against shouting either. Honey, I believe everything it's got breath ought to praise God. And that ain't all the time just shouting. I got to looking at this the other day. You praise God by your preaching. Amen. If you're preaching it right. Amen. If you're preaching that Jesus done what he said. If you're exalting Jesus, you're praising him. Amen. And if you're not, you ought to shut up and quit preaching. Amen. I mean, anybody that'll preach anything, I'm preaching about the lamb now. I mean, I'm preaching about how you're shouting over the calf or shouting over the lamb. I'm not interested in the calf. The calf can't help me. The calf's a bunch of junk. It's a false god. It's a leading you to hell. It's a leading you to destruction. It's a bringing your children down to nothing. But I want to tell you about the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Hallelujah. I read in the book of Revelation where the Lamb was in the midst. This crowd run around. They said, well, bless God, he can't do it all. He has done it all. Amen. And I mean, these people have shouted over what they've done, and they've made them gods, and they'll shout, and they'll have a big time. I mean, really, this whole world. I mean, they're going to come to camp meeting, and these boys gets excited and gets to shouting, and there's going to be folks are wondering what's wrong. Bless God, listen. We're not shouting over a golden calf. We're not shouting over a ball game. We're not shouting over a car race. We're not shouting over somebody playing some other kind of game. We're shouting because the victory has been won. And we're not shouting over something we don't know nothing about. We're shouting because of the Lamb of God. But these folks think, well, I don't believe in all that shouting. Well, when you go to a ball game, you do.
Yeah.
And when you don't go, you do if you watch it on television.
Yeah.
These people shout at home. They won't say amen at church.
Yeah.
That's a golden calf, honey.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you're shouting over something like that, shut up. But if you're shouting about Jesus because he died for you, because he rose again the third day, and because his blood cleanses from all sin, go ahead and help yourself. If you believe that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin, shout about the Lamb. Shout about the Lamb. But if you're shouting about the cave, honey, I could care less about you. In fact, you ought to have your head chopped off. Really? I don't hang around in none of that crowd. The shouts about what they've done.
Amen.
I could care less about what you've done. Well, I ain't done nothing, so I don't feel good. But ask God, you don't have to do nothing to feel good.
Amen.
You can feel good because it's already done.
Amen.
Jesus died at the Calvary, he said it's finished. That's enough to make you shout from here on out. Really? But I mean, you know, they was down there. Now, they wasn't really shouting. There's a singing, the Bible says. But that's what Moses interpreted. But Joshua said, I hear him shouting. I mean, he couldn't tell the difference. And most of this crowd can't tell the difference. They can't tell when it's real, when it ain't. And most of this world, you know, they're shouting. I mean, I hear them. Boy, I mean, I've heard them on the TV, and I've heard them on the radio, just shouting it out.
But they ain't sure where they're going, but they're shouting anyhow.
Yeah.
And they ain't sure who their father is, but they're shouting anyhow.
Yeah.
They ain't sure whether they're saved forever or not, but they're shouting it out.
Yeah.
I don't believe they've got anything to shout about. I believe the only people that's got anything to shout about is the one that's been revealed. The Lamb's been revealed to them, that they know who Jesus is and they know what He done for them. I don't believe you can shout on something that you're thinking about. You got to know something about it.
Amen.
So I want to turn over here in Revelation and read to you about what you really ought to shout about. Revelation chapter 5 said, I wept much because I was found no one worthy to read the book, neither to look thereon. And verse 5 said, and one of the elders of the said unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed. Open the book and to loose the seven seals. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and in the midst of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a Lamb, as it had been slain before the foundation of the world. I mean, he said, I looked and I saw a Lamb. They looked and saw a Lion. But when old John looked, he said, I saw the Lamb. I knew who he was. He wasn't a calf, he's a Lamb. Hallelujah. There's a lot of difference in shouting over a calf and praising God for a Lamb. Ain't no calf ever took away your sins. Now, no cow either. Now, the reason they didn't make a cow, I guess, they wanted a little sin, you know. They used to kill red heifers, and that didn't ever help nobody. And they burned them and sprinkled the ashes, and they still didn't have nothing. Amen. Because they still had to have the Lamb of God.
Amen.
But they made a little calf. You know, most of the Baptists don't want to sin big. It's the little things.
Yeah,
they didn't want to make a cow because they wouldn't want somebody to think we're worshiping cows, but we'll make us a little calf. Well, maybe they're too stingy to make a cow. maybe that's the reason they didn't have enough gold to make a cow.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty tight, you know. They didn't give all they had. If they had, they could have made a monster. But they give a little bit, and they made enough to get enough to have a calf, to make a calf, and they came out and said, ooh, isn't this wonderful? Look what we've done.
Yeah.
And then naked as jaybird.
Yeah.
But I want you to look at this other crowd over here that you're shouting about the Lamb.
Yeah,
they got their clothes on. Look over here in chapter 7, and the Bible said, and after this I beheld in verse 9, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations, kindreds, peoples, and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb clothed. Oh, man, God makes a difference. When you get born again, you're not naked anymore. And you don't want to get naked. You want to be clothed. And you're praising God, clothed in the fine linen, clean and white. Said, these are clothed with white robes. And they got a palm. They got a palm leaf in their hand. Well, this brother uses them red damn banners. It don't matter to me whether it's a handkerchief or a palm leaf or a rooster snuff fan waving in hand. Or a straw hat, a cowboy hat, whatever it is that brother waves back there. Say, listen, you say, well, that's strange that you all do that in church. You ought to go to heaven one day. See, they're already in there waving handkerchiefs and hats and stuff of that sort. They ain't got there yet. But I want to tell you one thing. When we get there and you see us up there, we're going to be having a palm leaf. All of us going to have clothes on. Over there in Exodus, they had their clothes off. Over here, that the ones that worship the Lamb, they're going to have their clothes on. Isn't that good? I mean, that's the way God does it. I mean, that crowd is naked. They think that's the way you ought to do it. I mean, worship God naked. No, you worship God clothed and in your right mind. That get fetter in the garden. And if you ever get saved, you'll know how to put your clothes on. You'll know how to dress up. And nobody's going to have to tell you what to do. You'll know what to do.
Amen.
Bible said, I beheld, now let me turn back to 5. And said he is a lamb that had been slain before the foundation of the world. But this down in verse 9 said, and they sung a new song saying, thou art worthy to take the book. I mean, there's a praising him. And I told you last, when was it, Sunday night? When you praise God, son, when you praise God, you exalt him. You tell how wonderful he is. You tell how good, that's what praise is. That's what the dictionary says. Tell about how good he is. You exalt him, you put him up yonder. You don't bring somebody down and praise him. You set him up high when you praise him. There ain't nobody like him. Ain't nobody as good as he is. Ain't nobody as great as he is. And honey, I want to tell you, that's the way you praise God. When you bring him up there and put him up there higher than anything else, above everything, God has exalted him. Give him a name that's above every name. That the name of Jesus, every knee's going to bow and every tongue's going to confess. Now, I mean, you think I'm stupid. I would be stupid if I'd rather worship a calf than a lamb, because a calf couldn't die for me. It took a lamb. You never read nowhere where God said, I want you to go get you a calf, and I want you to put the blood on each side, on the east side of the door and over the mantelpiece. Listen. He said on the post of the door and over the top of that door, you put the blood of a lamb, not a calf. And now, if those fellas had any sense, now Moses knew about the lamb, but I don't think that other fella knew much about it. I really don't. See, the lamb had done been slain over here in chapter what? Chapter 12. They kept him up. But boy, listen. Aaron, I don't know where he's at. He must have been on a vacation. I wonder where that dude is at. No, you know what's wrong with him? He's trying to make a little prestige, have a little prestige, and make a few points. While Moses was gone, he thought, well, looks like I'm going to have to be the pastor. And let me tell some of you. Now, since I'm getting on down to the closing of the journey, I want to tell you boys something, whoever's going to take over and wherever comes along. And you church members better wake up and listen to what I'm saying. Don't you ever get some little screwball that'll come by here and say, well, whatever y'all want to do, we'll do it. You better watch that stuff. You find you somebody that'll say, I don't care what you want, we're going to do it like God wants it. And if you can't find that kind of a fella, lock the door, shut her up, and close her down. Oh, that's what God's going to do. People always say to me, well, you're hard-headed. That's right. Exactly, honey. That's the way God made me. He don't make no soft-headed preacher. He don't make somebody, honey. He don't call a pick of wood that'll go out here and let the folks decide what he's going to do. The man of God's supposed to find out what God wants, and then everybody's supposed to follow.
Well, I trust you've enjoyed the message this week. Once again, write us at Tri-State Baptist Children's Home, Post Office Box 888, Bristol, Tennessee, 37621, or at Charity Baptist Mission, Post Office Box 692, Bristol, Tennessee, 37621. And until next week, God bless you.